We value the natural state of the many open lands around us, but sometimes it takes work to restore that natural state after people worked over the land and often worked it over hard. The Oregon Natural Desert Association values the high desert of central and eastern Oregon and works restoration projects all over the landscape. A recent addition to the restoration efforts is the Tribal Stewards Program. No big surprise in what it's about. It includes members of Native American tribes, young adults all, in the restoration work. Ben Gordon is ONDA's Stewardship Director and the John Day Basin Coordinator as well, and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Ben, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So there have been stewardship programs for years at ONDA, right?
That's right. For at least the past 15 years, it's been a focal point of what ONDA does. We take approximately, at this point, 600 volunteers out per year, and it's as much about getting important work accomplished to restore the high desert as it is inspiring people to connect with their high desert public lands and build sort of an appreciation and their own definition of what these places mean to them.
Talk about the creation of the Tribal Stewards Program, how that came about.
Sure. ONDA has, for a long time, partnered with Oregon's tribal communities, and in an attempt to deepen those connections and as we've envisioned a future where more tribal members are participating in their natural resources programs through conversations with tribal leadership, it was brought to our attention that there are limited opportunities for young adult tribal members to gain experience in natural resources. And so ONDA was trying to figure out how we could help to change that paradigm. And so we've been leading these stewardship programs for a long time with our volunteers, and we thought this is a great opportunity to evolve our programs to also offer them to young adults through sort of a seminar where it's both about getting work done on the ground, learning stewardship techniques, and also helping the young adults to be mentored into career pathways within natural resources and have the time and space to develop their own appreciation for the landscape and grapple with what the land means to them and how they want to participate as stewards in their lifetimes.
When we talk about young adults, are we talking about still in high school, just out of high school, a little later?
Out
than
of
that,
high maybe? School. The age range is 19 to 24 for the crew members, and this year's crew leader is about to turn 30.
Is that Tiana Casey?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I want to ask about her in just a bit, but let me get some more parameters of the program. It's a partnership with a couple of other, or at least one other agency, is that right?
That's right. It is in partnership with the Northwest Youth Corps. They have about 30 years of experience training and leading youth corps, and so the kind of the logistics and the structure for building a core of people who have the training to work really well together was something we leaned on Northwest Youth Corps for. That was something that ONDA looked to their experience and thought, we are really well positioned to work with our agency partners to design meaningful projects, to come up with the ecological uplift components, to design the career mentoring elements, but it was that developing a strong sense of core among the group is something that we leaned on Northwest Youth Corps for.
So when you talk about choosing the projects, were you looking to make sure that the Tribal Stewards Program got projects that were, somehow more appropriate or culturally resonant with the members of the program?
Definitely, yeah. So it was a mix of things. ONDA, our mission is to protect, defend, and restore Oregon's high desert for current and future generations. And the landscape that we work on behalf of is vast. It's about 20 million acres, and for folks who aren't familiar with it, if you were to start in Bend, Oregon, and head kind of all points northeast, due east, and southeast, you'd run through a pretty broad landscape that would include the Owyhee Canyonlands, Steens Mountain, the John Day River Basin, and on down toward the Hart Sheldon Antelope Refuge. And so we wanted to, one, give the tribal stewards a broad introduction to the landscape that ONDA works on behalf of, but we also wanted to give them as much exposure to agency partners, so federal land management agencies, tribal natural resources staff, and nonprofit professionals, so that the crew could think about different career pathways within natural resources because it is very vast. And so part of it was introducing them to as many folks doing as many different jobs as we could. And then we thought about the types of projects that were applicable. We didn't ask that this crew have any relevant experience. And so, you know, projects that are easy to learn when you don't have a background in the work. Also, you know, stimulating, challenging, rewarding, provide plenty of opportunities for learning that they could come up to speed on quickly. And then we thought about the, you know, there was certainly a cultural component. Several of our project sites, so each week the crew ventures to a different location across that geography I just described and partners with a different entity. And so for several of the weeks, the crew was on, though not reservation lands, properties that are owned by the tribes. So we went to a place called Pine Creek Conservation Area, which is on the main stem John Day River, and that's a 35,000-acre, effectively it's a wildlife management area that is owned by the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. And we went to two Burns Paiute-owned properties, Denny Jones Ranch and Logan Valley, where the crew, they got to interact with tribal members at both of those sites who are involved in natural resources and work with and learn from them. And they also did some culturally relevant work. In particular, native seed collecting is one that comes to mind, where they, this time of year, as a lot of the native plants are putting out their seeds, they're collecting them so that they can be used in planting projects in future years.
Ben Gordon's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Stewardship Director at the Oregon Natural Desert Association, ONDA, and we're talking about the Tribal Stewards Program that takes young adults 19 to 24 with a 30-year-old leader and puts them to work on restoration projects on Oregon's high desert, people who have come from tribal nations in the Northwest. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, actually not all the Northwest, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You actually have some people from the Southwest here too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We have two crew members from Arizona. They are Navajo tribal members.
And how were the participants chosen for the program?
So we worked with Northwest Youth Corps, who have they have a tribal inclusion coordinator, a woman named Angela Noah, who's actually she's White Mountain Apache and kind of came up through the ranks of Northwest Youth Corps' programs and ultimately landed the inclusion coordinator position. And so we worked with her to do recruiting. She had gone to the Chamawa Native American boarding school in Oregon and has deep connections to the tribal communities of Oregon. So we relied on her to help us reach some networks that through networking may be able to help us identify folks interested in this program. So we did that, and basically through Northwest Youth Corps' online portal, folks were able to apply, and then we had a series of interviews and narrowed down our candidates that way.
So you had mentioned that some of the work is going on in areas owned by tribes with tribal members involved. You know, they've lived on the land for thousands of years. I have to believe there's some incorporation of traditional ecological knowledge, often abbreviated as TEK or TEK.
Yeah, absolutely. When we were looking to hire our crew leader, Tiana Casey emerged as the clear front runner, in part because of her lifelong study of TEK. She is very passionate about and knowledgeable about TEK. It's been amazing to see how she's incorporated lessons about traditional ecological knowledge into kind of the everyday activities of the crew. For example, they have harvested tule, which is a reed that has been used for a very long time to weave ceremonial mats that often are presented as gifts. And so the crew has harvested tule. They've been doing some mat weaving, and so that's just one example. But also, Tiana is great about identifying traditional foods, first foods. Whenever we come across them on our project sites or where we're camped, they travel with root digging tools and often will take extended breaks to go gather when they find a good site for it. And Tiana's also been great about her affiliation is Warm Springs, and she's taken the crew to Warm Springs for several celebrations and festivals, most recently the Huckleberry Feast, which is a seasonal feast where tribal members gather. It's extended beyond just Warm Springs members, so other tribal members come too, and they prepare this great big feast with not only huckleberries, but with lamprey, with salmon, with elk, and just a day of kind of enjoying the cultural foods and kind of giving thanks and getting ready for the next season. So that's been very integral to a lot of the learning that the crew has done.
Wow, they are really taking in a lot over the course of this summer and putting a lot of miles, it seems like, on their traveling van.
That's right.
How many different places are they hitting then across the state?
So it's an 8-week seminar, 8 different locations, and to give folks a sense of just how far they've traveled. So they've been in the Ochoco Mountains, the Black Canyon Wilderness, doing trail work there. Then they ventured north and west to the Pine Creek Conservation Area, where they did a juniper thinning project. And then they head back south and east to the Denny Jones Ranch, which is east of Juntura, Oregon, for folks who aren't familiar with it. It's a small dot on the map, but it is along the main stem Malheur River. And they went up to on Denny Jones, they did a host of wildlife habitat improvement projects, including they did small mammal live trapping and counting to figure out what the population trends are there. They got to help with kestrel banding of juvenile kestrels. They worked with an ornithologist to do that. And they did other really interesting projects, for example, bucking and throwing hay bales around to get the hay harvested off the land. And what's interesting, a lot of the times, when it comes to kind of holistic management of property for wildlife habitat value, the crew would have questions like, well, how is bucking hay applicable to managing this place as wildlife habitat? And the answer is, well, hay is used as wildlife forage, but also to outcompete some of the weeds that were already on the site before the Burns Paiute took over. And then when the hay gets harvested and has to be bucked and piled, which is very physical work, it's then offered to the community members to help their domesticated animals sustain the harsh months of winter. So it's kind of a full circle endeavor there. Going on from there, they went up north to the Malheur National Forest, where they did some trail work. Within the Malheur Forest, but not part of it, is Logan Valley, which is a Burns Paiute-owned property, where they did fish counts and also small mammal surveys. And then they went way south to the Heart Mountain Antelope Refuge, and they did a big fence survey where they hiked the fence line, which is a perimeter fence to keep cattle off the refuge. They surveyed it, documented the condition, and anywhere the fence was broken, they would mend it. And just this week, I just left the crew who is working on the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. They're finishing up a week there. It's sort of a seminar with the different specialty areas that help to manage that refuge. And so they did a bird survey, counting duck broods. When I left them, they were off to do a fish survey and some aquatic health monitoring. And then they were going to treat some juniper and Russian olive, invasive Russian olive before they took a trip up into Steens Mountain just for a fun day to do a little fishing and to get up high and appreciate the views. And then their final 2 weeks, they're going to head back onto the Malheur National Forest to do a native seed collection, and they're going to finish their project with a fence building. There's a riparian fence designed to keep cattle out of the riparian corridor that was in disrepair, and so they're going to help rebuild a stretch of it. So they've covered a lot of ground by the time these 8 weeks are done.
Wow, that's a pretty amazing itinerary. We're talking to the Oregon Natural Desert Association, ONDA. Ben Gordon is the stewardship director. We're talking about the Tribal Stewards Program, and here is a call from Mark in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. It's wonderful to hear you talking about these kinds of things. One of the things, I'm a graduate from the archaeology department from SOU.
Okay.
And while I was going to school there, one of the things that happened was we had the tribal historic preservation officer from, I'm going to say it was the Grand Ronde Confederated Tribes,
mm-hmm.
come and give us a presentation. And one of the things that came up in discussion was that the sovereignty of the tribes throughout the United States comes into conflict with some of the wording of the 14th Amendment. And that was something that they said was going to go into conversation. I'm wondering if there's been any further conversation about that and how to resolve any of those sorts of conflicts.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the question, Mark. And did that even come up, Ben Gordon?
It hasn't come up. Mark, if you're still on the line, I'd be interested to get a little bit more context or specificity about what it is exactly that comes into conflict.
Sure, yeah, I can do that.
All right.
It has to do with the wording of the equality of every individual person in the United States. The 14th Amendment is all about making sure that everyone has equal representation in the United States, mm-hmm. For each citizen. And so what happens is, though, when it comes to sovereignty for the tribal areas, then other citizens who aren't tribal members who come on into tribal areas do not have equal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. I agree with that.
All right, we're almost out of time, Mark. I want to see if we can pick it up from there, if that sure. sort of gives a more rounded idea for Ben to comment on.
Yeah, it does, certainly. I hear what you're saying, Mark, and it came up as the flip side of that, which is especially for the Warm Springs members in Oregon, they have treaty rights with the federal government, and in addition to the reservations, they have ceded lands recognized, so about 10 million acres in Oregon, so much bigger than the reservation, where they've been promised the ability to gather traditional foods, also to hunt and fish, and to preserve cultural sites. And the discussion that I have had is about ensuring that there is reasonable access or kind of relatively easy access for folks to be able to get to those sites, which are on both federal and private land. And so that's an ongoing discussion about how to make that process easier so that tribal members feel safe and encouraged to use their rights. Mark, thanks for the question.
And Ben, we're so short on time. I just want to ask, as the stewards head home, are there plans for them to establish or take part in similar programs where they live?
Most of them are heading back to college, and mm-hmm. so the discussion is really about career pathways from here. So it is our hope that this is just the start of careers in natural resources, and that they take the experiences from this summer as they go through college and think about how they may factor into what they do as professionals. So,
okay. Oregon Natural Desert Association, where Ben Gordon is the stewardship director. We're talking about the Tribal Stewards Program. Ben, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.